Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, this is a podcast for December 28th, 2020. I'm your host, Zach. Joseph, we have Chris.
Hello.
And it's going to be a special show. It's the final show of 2020. And we're actually recording it a little bit early. So we are in the past right now, but you're hearing it in the future. We're not going to talk about news or anything. We're going to dive into some of the best movies, our best slash favorite movies of 2020. Worst movies of 2020 and movies that we wanted to see or just didn't get a chance to just because of how crazy everything was all this yep. year, like and trying to figure out like where things were now, like where movies were playing now that they were in theaters, and like waiting to not pay $20 for movies on demand. And it was definitely a mess, but there was definitely a bunch of good movies, some really bad movies, and then a bunch in between. So let's get into like best movies or favorite movies that we saw this year. So Chris, what do you have one of your favorite ones from this year?
Surprisingly, it's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, Sonic was maybe one of the biggest surprises of the year of like how fun it was and how like
that was 2020's way of like, hey, surprise, like there are going to be things you thought were going to be one way but turned out to be another. Like, it was a very good intro to 2020 and the irony of it.
And one of the best like the internet like being used for good.
Right.
of like everyone just being like when that first like horrific character design for Sonic showed up and everyone's just like no. And then they're like, "All right, we'll change it." The change was great. Like the new Sonic was like looked fantastic. So
it's pretty cool that the company, like the creators, listened to the fans, because most of the time people would petition about something about a movie and then the company would just be like, tough shit. Yeah. That's what we're making.
Mm-hmm. And a fantastic performance from Ben Schwartz as Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Like that perfect Sonic voice.
James Marsden is just like a fun guy that you just kind of want to hang out with.
Yeah,
like he's got he pretty much plays the same character in a lot of things, but he's pretty much like he's now come around to be an actor that like you just want to have and just have him like a fun guy in your group, you know?
Because
mm-hmm. he's like, oh, crazy stuff, but like he'll say the right things. He's like encouraging. And it's like a good pair with Sonic, because Sonic is like, you know, he's like a different version from what we're used to. He wasn't the cartoon, he wasn't the video game, he was like a little bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of all the Sonics
mm-hmm.
combined, and obviously of course Jim Carrey as well, like and like throwback to like 90s Jim Carrey, like it's like this, it's like he stepped off the set of like The Mask and now he's Dr. Robotnik.
Right.
Like, just, like, a classic over-the-top Jim Carrey performance. So, yeah.
On that. What was another good movie?
Well, I was going to say, like, speaking of surprises, Bad Boys for Life was one of one of the best movies I saw, or, like, one of my favorite movies of the year. Shockingly good. I think, no one expected anything for that movie, considering it's been, like, almost I think slightly under 20 years since the last one, like Bad Boys 2 was like 2002 or something, I think 2003. Yes, it's 17 years since the last Bad Boys movie. But yeah, it was a ton of fun. It had like really great fun action in it. like not quite to like it, that's like the one thing it doesn't reach to level like the absurd insanity of like a Michael Bay action scene. Like it doesn't like nothing in the movie like tops like that, like I guess what was it, like an expressway or whatever, like that Miami like ocean, like sea bridge that they were like the like iconic car chase
from
Bad Boys 2.
Like but, yeah, where they're jumping all the cars at them.
Yeah, and then the boat flies off and stuff, and yeah. I mean that's one of the best action sequences of all time, but it doesn't have like the weird nasty like just like cynical humor of Michael Bay. Like there's no like, because Bad Boys 2 is just like so obsessed with like corpses for some reason. Like it's just there's corpses everywhere. Michael Bay apparently thinks corpses are hilarious for some reason.
Playing with like recently dead bodies, like poking them, yelling at them, kicking them.
There's like the second car chase that no one talks about from Bad Boys 2, where like it's like a van full of corpses that are just getting thrown out into the street.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but yeah, Bad Boys 4 has like actual heart to it, like and like character development, like
a lot of growth.
Yeah, and like for like both characters, Marcus and why am I blanking on Will Smith's name?
Name Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith's character.
Will Smith.
Mike, like, yeah, Mike and Marcus, they both, have an actual, like, emotional arc in the movie. And, yeah, like, you actually care about them as characters. They're actual characters now and not just, like, crazy over-the-top cartoons like Bad Boys 2. And also like a fun, like they like Fast and Furious did up where it's like now there's like a team, there's like a side team of like it's like I think it was Ammo is the team now that like, so like if they wanted like a Fast and Furious style where it's like now it's like a team movie like Fast and Furious is now, they have
they established their own group of of hip cops.
Yeah, the hip young cops. So Bad Boys for Life was definitely a very pleasant surprise. Like, if you haven't seen it, definitely check that out. And then, Chris, do you have another one?
I really enjoyed, this is something different, but I really enjoyed The Invisible Man.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it yet, Liz. It's just, okay. It's sitting in my HBO queue. I just have not gotten around to see it yet, but
it's a good like adaptation, and it uses the modern day telling of Invisible Man and the mix of like slasher, like a unstoppable slasher person, and then the mental psychotic state a person's in when they're scared and like talking about something like that's really hard to comprehend, because a lot of the story is about the people reacting to the main character, who is just actually, you know, she's true. She's like, all this weird shit's happening. I think it's my dead husband. And they're just like, you're crazy. She's like, I think I am crazy, but like, you have to help me. They're like, you're crazy, so we can't. It's like, it's just, you know, it's frustrating to watch, but it's good frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I heard a ton of great stuff about it. So yeah, it's definitely on my like, as soon as I can, I'll watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What about you?
Well, I think probably I'm gonna say like probably my favorite movie, best movie I saw last year was Extraction.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one too.
I mean, just amazing, amazing action movie. Like definitely up there with like some of the best recent action movies, like The Raid or something, or Dread, or Maybe not quite like John Wick level or something, but like it's up in that upper tier.
It's functional action movie where all the scenes and stunt work is like very well shot, and it's something where the hero is like he's not unstoppable. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. This is what this guy would do on the limited resources and what his like what he's available, like what to kick ass on. So it's not like, you know, he's just kind of like pulling skills out of his ass, or he just conveniently has like a super weapon, you know. It's just like, no, this guy is just fighting his way tooth and nail, block by block, getting to this like point for an attraction. So And it was like really well done that I was like, wow, like Netflix, like streaming movies is gonna, it's gonna be the place. And that was like a good start to what they have in store.
Yeah, just that middle like one take sequence is like, it's like I think it's like 17 minutes long or something. That goes from like a car chase to like a building fight, and then like they fall off the roof and the camera falls off the roof with them and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was just that's just amazing. That's like amazing action filmmaking. Actually, all the there was like, it was kind of like, I guess it was like the summer blockbusters, like Netflix, like summer of blockbusters, like action on Netflix kind of, because it was like Extraction was in like May or something, and then it was like The Old Guard, which is also pretty great, came out in like June or something.
Yeah.
And then it was like July or August, like Project Power came out, which was also like pretty fun and cool.
I think it was August. So,
yeah, but it was sort of like, if you weren't getting blockbusters in theaters, but like Netflix was like kind of giving you the equivalent of like summer blockbusters on every, like at least one a month for the summer.
Not bad, you know. It's good to keep that momentum going.
What's your another one, Chris?
I actually like The Gentleman. The Guy Ritchie Gentleman.
Yeah, I wasn't. I it was enjoyable, but it was like, it was kind of like disappointing too, because it's just like, I don't know. This is it didn't reach like the like classic guy, like, because they're selling it as like the, like, this is a return to form for Guy Ritchie. Get ready for, it's like Snatch 2 or something. Like,
okay, I guess if I ignored the billing to it, I just liked it for what it was, which was just like fun slice of life story of just mobsters. Mm-hmm. Granted, it was like a little too flashy mobsters. Like, it was like a Guy Ritchie inspired movie than it was Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, if it felt like someone was trying to like copy Guy Ritchie, but it was like literally Guy Ritchie making it.
Yeah. I think what it was is he didn't have that like struggle. Everyone was like a rich person. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't like a lot of that rags to riches story. I mean, there was for one character, for Matthew McConaughey, but it's blown by so fast, and now he's so smooth that you don't enjoy his struggle now. Like, it's just like, it's very solvable.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for 2020 standards, still fun. It's mm-hmm. still I granted, it's not my favorite Guy Ritchie movie, but it's a fun, like, action thriller.
Throwback.
Cursing Guy Ritchie, like, and then just, like, you know, getting into that mobster mindset again, but definitely missing some of the classic. Maybe another movie he'll get it right again, like, find that spark, be inspired to make a grittier London Underground story, and not just, like, rich assholes.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's like fun scene, like fun shots. It's just mm-hmm. it's broken up by a lot of, you know, build up and tension and misdirection, but it's like it kind of negates certain things.
So I think we definitely have to talk about for a little bit. If a movie like kind of like one of the movies that like kind of defined 2020 for better or worse is Tenet.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, there's no like Inception, like, wow.
Yeah, just attend it.
Like, although I think it was like Ludwig Göransson who does the Mandalorian music. I think he did the music for Tenet.
I wouldn't have not known.
Yeah, I just assumed it was Hans Zimmer, and I saw his name at the end. I'm like, Ludwig Göransson, what? this doesn't sound like the Mandalorian. But yeah, Tenet, the movie that was supposed to like bring everyone back to theaters, but didn't really work out too great for anybody. But yeah, I recently saw it. I thought it was pretty like cool and fun. It's not my favorite Christopher Nolan movie, but like it's a good, like, it's definitely in like the, I would put it in like the middle tier Christopher Nolan stuff.
Yeah, Inception was a high concept and high action that matches the momentum where
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, so like, and then you have Tenet, which was it should be billed more like a spy movie, right?
Yeah, it's the Christopher Nolan version of a James Bond movie, but that includes like time manipulation and like crazy crazy like future time travel, but not really time travel, but I guess it is time travel.
it's time travel in a different sense, which is interesting. I didn't mind that. I just, the science behind it, when they try to explain it and then they try to show you, they showed too much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like it definitely does not do as good a job as, like, Inception. Like, it's still an insane concept, but they do, like, I think Inception does a much better job, like, explaining it and being like, oh, and then, like, you're, like, fully on board for, like, the Inception concept. Like, okay, we're in, like, we're going, like, deeper and deeper into, like, dreams. And so it's, and then, like and then all the stuff with, like, the time moves slower, the deeper you go and waking up and stuff. And, all the stuff in Inception, like, is, like, explained really well and you get it. And Tenet is, like, very, like, it's like, Christopher Nolan was just like, well, I gotta make it even more complicated. I had to prove how smart I am. Which, well, because there's like the first scene where it's just like, where like John David Washington, aka the protagonist, which is just like another like just weird, like that's such like a pretentious like meta thing too. Just like, my character's called the protagonist.
He doesn't even get like a first name or anything.
No, he's just the protagonist. But yeah, there's a scene where like they basically explain the idea of like there's like things that are inverted and they travel backwards in time. But then he just keeps adding more and more and more. Where it's like, and then people can be inverted, and this is how people get inverted. And then we're like, it's just like keeps like getting crazier and crazier. I understand what was going on, but like, yeah, it's you have to be very like, you have to be like very focused and like pay attention to like what is happening. It's not like a casual like I'm gonna look at my phone while I'm watching this movie, like. But yeah, it's definitely like some really cool action stuff playing with the time travel, like, or like the inversion stuff, like, you know, like the like backwards car chases and backwards shootouts and
yeah, the it was reasons to get the action sequences in motion. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was well cinematic shots, and that was the part I, as a film person who, like, you know, watches a lot of movies and appreciates the art behind the scene, very great. As a like someone who just kind of like wanders into a movie theater just to watch an action movie, confusing, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, why is this happening? So it's weird. It's definitely Chris Nolan makes movies now, I think, for people who like view movies differently, because he definitely like lashed out on people who like didn't understand Tenet, and then people were complaining about like the sound and stuff.
You need to have the mindset of like, it's like this movie is a puzzle that you have to solve.
You have to think. His movies are thinking.
It's a logic puzzle disguised as a movie.
Did he do Dunkirk?
Yes.
I think it's the one of the only movies that doesn't have
it still has the time thing, because there was it's not as like high concept as like Tenant, but like it still had the thing where like the scenes on the beach were like a week, and then the scenes with like Mark Rylance on the boat is a day, and then Tom Hardy's in the plane is like an hour.
Oh, okay.
So it was like you would see like glimpses of things in different stories, but they're all it was like the story on the beach was like took place over in a week, and then but then like Tom Hardy was in his plane for an hour, so. So you have to do the thing of like, all right, so we're with Tom Hardy now, so it's only been like a couple minutes since we last saw him, but like if we cut back to the beach, it's been like 3 days or something. So, so yeah, so even though it was like kind of like a straight, it was supposed to be like, it was like maybe you want like. I guess the Batman movie, the trilogy is the Dark Knight trilogy is like his most straightforward movies, I think, probably. But yeah, I like Tenet. I definitely like it was it looked cool. It's a cool idea. I don't know if it needed to be 2.5 hours long, but
it could be shorter.
Yeah. And it's like the glimpse of like the alternate universe where like Christopher Nolan directed the James Bond movie.
Right. This is his submission movie.
Yeah. And I'm also a super, super fan of John David Washington. I think he's awesome. Like he definitely needs to like some more like action roles and like to like or like get some stuff like somewhere to he needs like something like a Man of Fire like that his dad made like
Man of Fire 2 or yeah. Like Man of Fire the younger years.
Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Like how John Creasy like became like his like the weird like bodyguard for hire.
Right. Totally down for that.
Yeah. So any other favorite movies, Chris?
I got one or two movies that you didn't see, so we'll make it quick. Onward.
Yeah, that's something I still need to see that one. That was the one that like that I think got caught the most by like because that was in theaters for like a week or not even. And it was like theaters are all shut down.
Go home.
Yeah, go watch it. Go watch this on Disney Plus because we're just throwing it on Disney Plus now.
So Onward was it's fun. You know, it's a very touching family story about like moving forward in life and accepting certain things and finding like your own inner hero kind of story, Disney story. It kind of reminds me of like Big Hero 6 a little bit, where it's like, mm-hmm. you know, the hero was in me all along. Like I didn't need like to be someone I'm not or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun. Definitely like a great streaming service movie. I probably would have saw it in theater if it was like probably marketed more, but like, streaming on Disney Plus when Disney Plus just first started, awesome. And Disney Plus, what came out?
Well, it came out like it was like October of last year, I think.
Okay, and then it was just barely March when the COVID hit and Onward got taken with it. But it worked, and the cast was good. You know, Tom Holland, Chris Pine.
It was Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, one of the. Chris P's.
One of the Chris's, yeah.
But yeah, what about you?
I just want to mention so a couple others. Bill and Ted Face the Music was pretty great. Like that was another like Bad Boys for Life thing where but that was even longer between movies where it's just like, is this really gonna work? Like it's been like, I don't like Bill and Ted Bogus Journey was like I think 90 or something, so it's been like 30 years since the last one. But yeah, it's Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, they slid right back into Bill and Ted and they were great. It was super fun. There's some like tons of fun stuff with like them meeting their like meeting like increasingly pathetic versions of themselves in the future.
Right.
And then like their daughters who are also great, like them going on like them basically getting their own like Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure. it's like they get their own like mini sequel inside the sequel where they're like gathering like the greatest musicians of all time to like help their dads with like their like perform like the prophesied song they're supposed to sing create to like unite the universe.
Right. No, I haven't seen it yet. And it's one of those things where that's definitely on my 2C. And I hope there's more because I love these characters. I just, you know, didn't spend the time to watch it just yet.
Yeah. And then Borat, subsequent movie film 2, was that another was great. Another great comedy. It's been a while since the first one, but yeah, just like, I mean, definitely much more like focused than the first one. They're definitely like targeting specific things in this one. And then also like Bill and Ted, like just like, they had like great daughter characters, like Borat's daughter in subsequent movie film, Maria Bakalova, like just amazing. Like just completely keeping pace with Sacha Baron Cohen. At like every step, like she's like right there with him, and like willing to do like just she's willing to do as creative things as like Sacha Baron Cohen is. And there's some like really really great just like setups and stuff. And just the fact that like they started shooting this, and then like the pandemic happened, and they like were able to like shift themselves like into like a new direction and still make it like a like actual like coherent story. And actually like a weirdly touching story too. the first Borat like basically had no plot, and then this one has like I think it's like sort of like it's like kind of like a reverse thing of like maybe some of the like the set pieces aren't as memorable as the first one, but like the actual like story is like way better than the first one.
Okay.
So, it's like. There's actual like character growth and stuff in Borat and like subsequent movie film for Borat and stuff, which is like you do not expect going in.
I mean, yeah, the scandalous parts where they tried to do the candid camera wasn't that great this time, but the story was good.
Yes,
the story was the plot that they had laid out was really great. I feel like it came out. Because it came out during the election, it got some backlash initially because people thought it'd be politicized, but it kind of isn't. It's just kind of like this is the what people think about like America in a very creative way.
Yeah.
It definitely has a little bit of an angle. I don't think it's like a hardcore political agenda, but it had an angle that was fun. You know, like I enjoyed the stupid comedy because it's the same kind of comedy that they had in the first movie that people forget, where like didn't like Borat try to like assault another political figure in the first Borat movie? Yeah, like he took his pants off in front of like Ron Paul or someone.
I think there's a little bit of that, but yeah. Well, if you remember the first one had the weird like plot of like like Borat was coming over to like do a report on like America, but then they got into like the weird like we need to meet Pamela Anderson.
Right, he wanted to make his wife.
Yeah, that was, like, the entire driving force of, like, the first Borat movie.
And then this one, he just wanted, like, his daughter to get close to Trump.
Yeah, they wanted to, like, Kazakhstan wanted to, like, get in good with, like, the Trump administration. So then that's why they're sending Borat. Because Borat's been to America before. So he like knows like what how they can like get in the good graces like Kim Jong Un or like or Putin or something. So I think the only other one just mentioned quick that it was actually like also like surprisingly fun and cool was Underwater.
You saw that?
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Okay. And I think we talked about it like weeks. A couple weeks or months ago on the podcast, but like, yeah, the Kristen Stewart under like horror movie that's like all like it's all like the like underwater facility like collapses and they have to, like make their way on like the ocean's floor, like actually like a really cool kind of horror movie. Like it has kind of like alien vibes and it's like also like definitely like a throwback to stuff like The Abyss and like or like I think it was like The Deep and like some of those other movies. And like a very cool reveal that like did, I don't think there was no hint of it in the trailer, but like when you find out like the actual source of like all these like weird creatures and stuff, it is very cool. So that's some of our favorite movies of last year. So let's get into some of the worst movies we saw, because there definitely were some bad movies that came out this past year. So Chris, like, what's one of the worst movies you saw last year?
One of the worst movies I saw was Fantasy Island. it had so much promise, and there's so many cool ideas behind it, and then they went too far when they explained like how it works, like how the fantasies work, and the weird curse that they have, and then it becomes like a weird, even weirder explanation at the end. Where, like, not to spoil much, but if you can curse someone to come to Fantasy Island, and that's your wish, and it doesn't quite explain how, then you can use your wishes to just, like, negate someone's fantasy. You know, like, the idea is come to Fantasy Island and you have a fantasy. And it's like, well, someone's fantasy was real because it made people come to this fantasy island. It's like, that doesn't work then. I don't know. It falls apart at the end when you start questioning the logic.
Yeah.
But up until that point, it's fun, you know, until the fantasies happen.
Yeah. Well, it's weird that they took like this, like, can't, like, I don't know if it was campy, but, like, I guess, like, not horrific, like, late 70s, early 80s show, and, like, made it like a horror movie.
It was a silly premise that is fun, you know.
Because, like, the original show had, like, some supernatural elements. Like, there was hints that, like, Ricardo Montalban was, like, maybe an angel or some sort of, like, supernatural being. And, like, he had some sort of, like, past, like, encounter with Satan, or, like, he fought Satan or something, because, like, Satan shows up in the Fantasy Island at one point, and, like, there's, like, he knows angels, or he might be an angel, who knows, like, there's, like, these, like, weird hints of, like, this, like, supernatural lore in the original show, but it was, like, it was very, very sparsely sprinkled out. The new one's just, like, it's all crazy supernatural horror, like, Mr. Rourke is a monster, like.
So, it could be, like, I don't know. It felt like for a movie, this would have been, like, a streaming service movie, you know? Mm. Not, like, if it was on Hulu, it wouldn't be so bad. But the fact that this came out in theaters, it was just like, what?
Yeah.
What about you? What's one of your worst movies?
Oh, well, I think hands down, the worst movie I saw last year was Welcome to Sudden Death. Which, I mean, we love Michael J. White here. Like, I mean, Falcon Rising is an awesome movie. Like, Black Dynamite, obviously. All that stuff's great. Welcome to Sudden Death is so, so bad. It looks like a cheap TV show. Like, it is, like, everyone besides Michael J. White is just awful. Like, everyone's just, like, overacting way too much. Like, his like, some of the worst kid actors I've ever seen, where they're just, like, way too, like, sassy and, there's a part where, like, Michael J. White's daughter is one that gets kidnapped by, like, the terrorists that take over a basketball game. And, like, the head terrorist is, like, threatening her and, like, holding a gun to her head and stuff, and she's, like, Z-stapping and be like, my dad's gonna kick your ass. I'm just like, what are you doing? What is this, like... little girl, like, you're gonna get killed. Like,
it's these not are hardcore like, terrorists.
Yeah, like you can't. Isn't Instagram or like TikTok? You can't just throw a thumb down on this person. Like, they'll go away or block them.
Like, you're gonna go viral. This like terrorist like kidnapping.
Yeah, and then yeah, like a horrible like comic relief janitor partner that gets Michael J. White. Everything he says is awful and unfunny and just like one of the worst characters I've ever seen in a movie. And there's only like one really like okay good fight scene, and then all the rest of the action is terrible. Like it's so bad. It's worse than Hard Target 2, which was also not that great. If we're talking about like weird sequel/reboots of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Like, I'd rather watch Hard Target 2 again.
I see both these movies compared now.
Yeah, yeah. So Welcome to Sudden Death is, like very, very bad. hopefully, Michael White gets something better soon. Because, I mean, he's trying to carry this entire movie on his shoulders, but it just, like, even he can't do that. So, do you have another worst one, Chris?
I would say it's bad, but it's just not what you think it is. And it's because I always talked about it recently. Ava.
Yeah, go back 2 weeks and listen to, like, Chris's, like,
5 to 8, 10-minute rant about Ava, about, like, this confusing movie where a killer, filled with so much stuff going on, her personal life and her public image, she should not be a killer. And she should not be a hitman. And it's, like, it makes sense why she's, like, hunted and... she just has so much on her plate, and that movie concludes in a weird way. I mean, stay for like the fights, because honestly, two fights are really good, and
one fight's a so-so fight that happens, but it wants to be a John Wick fight for some reason. It's a John Wick fight sequence of no heart. And then just like a comical, like Family Guy style, like Peter and the Chicken, like style fight that is so drawn out. And it starts being really good and like, you know, gritty and realistic to then just becoming comical at the end. So stay for that. Or just later, you know, find a highlight clip and just watch that sequence a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I was giving that review too harsh of a review, and I looked at like the public opinion, and like, yeah, a lot of people agreed that this was not what it would think it was.
Yeah, I think isn't it like 16% Rotten Tomatoes or something? It's like has like its Rotten Tomatoes score is like very, very bad.
Yeah, but some of the critics said basically some performances are really great, some of the chemistry is great, that makes sense, but everything else is just like from a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, check it out for yourself. It's on Netflix now to stream, so that's the perfect reason to see it. But it's not like my top worst movie of the year, but it's just like, it's disappointing.
Yeah.
What about you, Zach? What else you got?
Another bad one for me is New Mutants, the long anticipated, long delayed, people thought it was never going to come out, and actually did come out, and then it came out at like the worst time it could possibly come out. But it's not the worst X-Men movie. Like, it's better than like X-Men Origins Wolverine or like Dark Phoenix, but it's just boring. It's boring and bland. And it doesn't really they're selling it as like it's the X-Men horror movie, and it's not really a horror movie. There's like it's like very, very sparsely sprinkled throughout like kind of like horror scene segments, I guess. But like it's not, if you're going in like wanting like a full on like horror movie, like you're gonna be very, very disappointed.
So it's another bait and switch movie where you think it's going to be one thing, and then it's mostly just like a CW show.
Yeah.
Like just NC teens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I mean, you put from like the trailers and stuff, like, and I think there's even like posters that are like evoking it, but like, they're kind of selling it as like a dream, like, maybe like Dream Warriors, or like, you know, like it's sort of like, or something, like something in that vein where it's like, oh, these teens are in a weird, creepy hospital, but they're also mutants. And it's also just like it's just such a weird, like, everything is set up, like anything is set up or anything they like talk about is like doesn't matter at all anymore because the franchise is dead. So it's just like there's no reason, there's like no like any character development they build up or like any sort of like Easter eggs or like connections they try to like make to like the previous X-Men movies that does not matter at all anymore. there's stuff like the Essex Corporation, which is like Mr. Sinister's like corporation that it seems like if things had been had gone better, or if Disney hadn't bought Fox, they might have been late series arc would have been like building to Mr. Sinister, but that never happened, obviously.
If it was one of those side movies that helped build the greater universe, totally fine, kind of like how the MCU does that with certain characters.
Yeah, but
because you have this like failed, it's like back-to-back bad X-Men movies, it just like definitely struck the nail in the coffin for the Fox X-Men stuff.
Yeah, just really, really bland characters, like, and with like no, not a lot, none to like very little like explanation or like backstory or like character development. They're just like, everyone just sort of exists. And then, there's like weird, like, I think like everyone gets like one sentence where it's just like, here's my backstory. All their backstories are basically the same. Where they killed their parents or like killed someone, and then like they end up in this hospital.
And now they have hospital, quote unquote.
Yeah, the hospital that's like gigantic, but it has 5 patients and 1 doctor, and that's it.
And like, doesn't everyone in that group do something like a chore in that hospital?
Yeah.
They're running the hospital too.
Like Sunspot like is like works in the kitchen and does the dishes, and like they have to do their own laundry, and it's just like they acknowledge that it's weird, but they also are like not that like it's also not a concern, I guess. Like, where it's just like, isn't it weird that like we're the only ones here and there's like no doctor except for one doctor who's obviously like who's like generating force fields to keep us here. So yeah, I mean, there's really no, unless you're like a hardcore, like unless you're like an X-Men completionist and like you need to watch every single movie that's for X-Men, there's pretty much no reason to watch it. Especially now that like we're like at some point in the future we'll get like MCU X-Men. So do you have any more worst ones, Chris?
I kind of say it's another like worst one, but it's not that bad. Was Doolittle?
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just the potential's ruined. It's definitely a movie that has an idea of what they wanted to do for a Dr. Doolittle sequel to. I don't know if it's like based on the book or based on the first. The first movie, but it's a movie that drops you into like a deeper Dr. Doolittle story that doesn't give you much explanation, and then most of it is like recapping like, stuff.
It's like you guys all know like are like very into Dr. Doolittle, like know all these like side characters and like his backstory, right?
Well, it's like one word, like aha, like these characters will just quickly just come up like, do you remember your last great adventure when this happened? He's like, yes, I did. You came out of that. All right. Like, it's one of those. Like, do you remember?
Yeah.
And it's not even stuff that I'm not familiar with. And it's like, I don't know if this is from deep lore, Dr. Doolittle, or just things that are just convenient plot devices. So it's got a issue with the plot wise. Actor-wise, it's fun, you know, Robert Downey Jr. post, you know, Iron Man role, let him be like a English doctor, sounding like a Sherlock Holmes more, just like, sounds like his same character. CGI work-wise, it's not bad. It's not like horrific, where like, oh my god, I'm staring at like, Uncanny Valley of Animals again at like Lion King, but it is a little disappointing that this movie was marketed. It was like a weirdly marketed Disney movie because it showed you just like the fantasy parts, but the movie's not a fantasy. It's actually more of like Dr. Doolittle goes through like a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Was it, did his wife die or something, or something happened? Like,
yeah, his wife died years ago and he's
and
never got
like, he's been like a recluse. Like,
yep. He's been like trying to, avoid people. That's why he wants to hang out with animals, but then animals talk to him, so he wants to avoid animals.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's again, it's a very confusing premise, but it's enjoyable in bits where I kind of like certain sections, and it kind of had this like silliness to it, but it just doesn't stick at the end.
Mm-hmm. So One last one for me. Like, it's like enjoyably stupid, but it's still not. It's still a very bad movie. Bloodshot.
Okay.
Like, it's like if you're just going, you're like, I want to watch a stupid Vin Diesel movie. Then that's what you get. You're gonna have fun. Yeah. If you're going in, like, if you're a huge like Valiant comic fan, or you're going in looking for like a cool superhero movie, you're going to be very disappointed. Because it basically has nothing to do with the Valiant comic character.
Yeah, once I kind of, before I went into the movie, just kind of understood what they were doing, it's a very for Hollywood, like, movie watchers, like, people who just, like, see new movies, don't care where it's from, whatever.
I mean, we were talking, like, I think we've talked about it before, Chris, but, like, this is, like, a 90s-ass comic movie where, like, they did, like, they're like, well, we gotta change out all the, no one wants to see, like, a straight adaptation of this. Like, we need to, like, 90s this up and, like, make it cool. Like, and, like, make it, like, simpler for people to understand it.
Yeah, that I don't like. I don't like that they try to go for the people who wouldn't know Bloodshot, and people went into this thinking it's just, like, oh, it's Action Vin Diesel. Yeah. And they loved it. And the problem was, like, it made enough money to warrant more of that. And it, it kills me as a Valiant fan to be like, I just want, like, I just want the stories that are make him great and, like, the complicated relationships he has with other characters. But now, I don't know how they're going to build a Valiant universe of other characters and superpowers if they don't acknowledge anyone else.
And yeah, like, and like, and Vin Diesel is just like doing his like usual Vin Diesel thing. Like, he's not even like pretending to like be a character. Like, it's just fucking like Dominic Toretto with nanobots. Like,
I could hook it to my brain could hook it to satellites. I'm gonna find the guy who killed my wife.
Which I will say, like, that was like a clever thing where, like, you get like, you see like the whole like beginning, and it's like, and like, they acknowledge like the cliches and stuff, and then it's like, oh, it's a simulation. But then like, it takes like Vin Diesel so long to like figure out what the hell is actually happening. Like, he's such an idiot for like the entire time.
Well, he's got nanobots and, you know, head injuries to slow him down.
And but yeah, I mean, Guy Pearce was there. That was fun. That was like a, it was like a fun like Easter egg thing of like, hey, Guy Pearce was in a movie just like this. he was Vin Diesel. Although that was a much like classier and better movie.
I heard basically at the end where their fight is so like dumbed down because it's not even like an all-out superpower fight or anything. It's just like, haha, I tricked you to like do this, or like I survived this.
Well, it makes no sense because like they set up that like if Vin Diesel like overuses like the nanobots, then like they're like, he turns like, he reverts back to like normal Vin Diesel. But then like so it's like this big moment in the end where like he like overloads his like nanobots, and then like something happens, but then it's like, oh, you're fine. Like, that rule we set up doesn't matter. Like, you survived a giant explosion, but you're fine. I guess because you're Vin Diesel, you start an explosion with no scratches, even though you had no nanobots at the time.
Yeah, it's a movie where if you've been paying attention, it like punishes you for like, oh, you thought you thought we didn't explain this, and it's like, well, no, you did. How's this making sense?
Yeah, and also like the weird like the Bloodshot 1.0 people who all just have like one thing. They have like, I got metal arms. I got cyber eyes. I got cyber lungs. Like, and then they're like, "Oh, here, Vin Diesel, you get like fucking nanobots that makes you invulnerable." Which I guess I understand like why most of the other like cyber guys were like mad because they just get like, I got these stupid metal arms and he's got fucking nanobots.
they're mad at the wrong people. Don't be mad at the new guy who got the best upgrades. Be mad at the doctors. That's like, why didn't we have nanobots in ours? You give us like basically like a forklift attached to my back.
Why is Vin Diesel so special that like they like give him the nanobots?
Well, that's the thing about Bloodshot. As long as the machines and the body accept each other, then they basically can become a Bloodshot type guy. Because in the comics, now this is someone that, like, you know, as someone who's read more of the lore, it's like there have been alternate Bloodshot stories where the host of Bloodshot keeps changing. Because sometimes it's like Ray or whatever, but sometimes it's like the machines themselves, the nanobots, are Bloodshot. So if you transport they choose a new host, whoever they becomes the new Bloodshot. And then some of the moral outlines carry over, but not the like traumatic memories or whatever that makes them the human part. Hell, even in like other later stories, like it's like in the future where there's like another Bloodshot, it's the same Bloodshot, like and nanobites, but that just evolved. Like it's like they've evolved over time, so now they show up in like the far future. And that's interesting because it's like you now have like a lore. It's like the symbiote. It's like a you know Venom movie that just doesn't matter if it's Eddie Brock or not. It's just like it's Venom.
Yeah.
But again, the Venom movie is a better Bloodshot movie than.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Hardy's definitely a more interesting character than Vin Ray Diesel. Garrison. Yeah.
Because he's basically Dominic Toretto at some point.
Yeah. I'm gonna punch the cement cylinder. Punch the cement pillar for a workout because I'm so big and tough.
Yeah, like it's a movie that if it came out right after like Fast and Furious, it's like this is not bad, right? Like it's just it's a movie at a time.
It's definitely like there's only is like most of like the like outside of like the franchises that Vin Diesel's established, like Last Witch Hunter or something, or like any of the like Babylon AD, like all these like one off movies that Vin Diesel makes, they're mostly terrible. If it's not like a Fast and Furious movie or like a Riddick movie, then or like a Triple X movie. I guess the only other kind of bad one that I saw was Unhinged. Although it did have like large Russell Crowe was very good, like a fun villain in it. Like he was like so over the top.
Right.
But that was also just like kind of a dumb ass, like a dumb thriller movie. Like it was also like the one where like we're the first movie back at theaters. Come see Unhinged. In like August or whatever it was, like it's like no one should risk their lives to see large Russell Crowe
just scream in traffic and then become like a very meticulous serial killer.
Yeah,
does he even have military training or something that makes him so?
They do not establish any aspects of his character. He's just a very large angry man.
He's like a guy who works at like Taco Bell and he just had a bad day.
Yeah, he does. He does some like very like even though he's like right like just like out of his mind insane and angry, like he does like a very smart thing where like, he like takes like the woman he's stalking's phone, so then he like knows like all of her contacts and like all of her like addresses and all of her like he has all the information on her, and then that's like how he like proceeds to this like threaten her and like kill people around her and stuff. So that was a kind of like a good aspect about it, but I guess it's also this weird like commentary of like look how much information we're putting out there on our phones, guys. Like if someone got your phone, they could destroy your life. And also it opens with like this like 5-minute montage of just like news clips about road rage.
It's like, yeah, crazy Americans, right? Anyway, here's a movie about crazy Americans.
Yeah, society's getting angry, everybody. We're all angry and we could, any of us could explode at any moment. So be careful.
Drive safe.
Yeah. Don't honk at random people.
Don't honk at Russell Crowe. That's all I took away.
Yeah. So do you have any other like bad movies you saw this year, Chris?
No, that's about it. I mean, it's nothing that memorable. If I saw it, it wasn't bad.
There weren't a lot of like just aggressively bad movies. Like, there was a lot of like mediocre ones and a lot of like bland ones, but there wasn't anything like extremely like terrible.
Right. Which is good, you know. This year didn't have a lot of like, haha, this is gonna be like awful, your brain's gonna hurt.
Yeah, like definitely for me, like Welcome to Sudden Death was like aggressively bad, but that was like the only one that was like that in that category. The rest of them were just like, eh. This is either like stupid or bland or both.
I feel like I have to see it just to share your pain.
Yeah.
Is it bad enough that like it's worth seeing it just to feel the pain of it, or is it just like it's so bad, please don't look at this?
Maybe we should do a commentary on it at some point in 2021.
That's not bad. If it's fun to comment on it, then it's not that bad.
Just like the bizarre characters alone, like all the weird side characters, and just like how it looks like a cheap Canadian TV show, like.
I suspected something like that was going to happen.
Yeah. So let's wrap things up with like just is there any movies that you didn't get around to see that you wanted to see, Chris? That we haven't talked about yet, maybe or so, like.
Yeah. I really want to see Scoob. The CGI Scooby-Doo
movie. I haven't seen that either. Like I've heard very mixed things about it. Like I heard it's not like it's it. If you're I think if you're a Scooby-Doo fan, I've heard like it's barely. It's much more about. It seems like it's much more about setting up like the like Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe.
Okay.
like if you're going, if you're looking for like a straightforward like Scooby-Doo mystery, like apparently it's not that. It's like a much more like we're setting up like these like five other movies. We're setting up like a Blue Falcon or like whatever, like setting up a movie for him and like possibly a Wacky Races movie because Dick Dastard's here and like.
So, what about you? You pick one too.
We talked about Guns Akimbo. I think you saw, Chris, right?
I saw that. Pretty good. A great rental.
Yeah, I think it's just on Prime Video now or something. So
that's what I saw it on.
It's in my queue. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Palm Springs, I didn't get around to watch on Hulu. I heard like fantastic things about that movie. Which I think you also saw that, Chris, right? Palm Springs.
Yeah, good movie. It's self aware of the silliness, and there's a lot of like time travel or like stuck in a loop talk that explains sort of the science, and then the this movie does sci-fi and romantic comedy well. You know, it did everything great about like learning from being in a loop and figuring out how to deal with it, so it wasn't too far-fetched. It was silly, but they knew it was silly.
And then The Five Bloods, the new Spike Lee movie. It's on my Netflix queue. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, though. That one seems like it's like one of the big like for whatever form the Oscars takes this year or next year, like this is one of the front runners, I think.
Yeah,
it got a ton of critical like love and apparently like very, very good.
And yeah, and one I'd of the, to see that too.
Yeah, one of the last times one of the last movies you can see Chadwick Boseman in, unfortunately. And then the live action Mulan I've not watched yet.
I've seen it. It's okay.
Oh, I think actually speaking of Disney Plus stuff, I haven't seen Hamilton yet either.
You've never seen Hamilton?
I mean it's 3 hours long, Chris. So like you have to carve out basically your entire day to watch Hamilton. But yeah, I guess technically that's a 2020 movie.
I don't even consider like a movie. It's just like a show.
It's a filmed theatrical performance.
Yeah. So it's a weird term. I'm just like I guess this is what it is.
Yeah, but yeah, that was definitely one of the biggest. That was like probably one of the biggest like 2020 releases though. Like just the fact that came out on Disney Plus. And I think that's pretty much those are the major ones I didn't get a chance to see yet. So, but
wait, did you know that they made a new sniper movie?
They've made so many sniper movies.
I know, but they made one in like 2020.
I think they like if I because I've only seen like one and two, so but I think like at certain points like Billy Zane came back. And
he
then,
came
like,
back in like six.
Yeah. And then Tom Berenger came back, but now like it's Tom Berenger's son, the character's son is like the sniper now.
But the latest movie is Tom Berenger, like the son and dad teaming up again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's called Assassin's End.
Yep.
It's just like so generic of a title. And then it's, you know, like I think they are sniping supposedly, but it's probably one of those like, oh, like they just have a rifle, but it's just like mostly gunfights.
I wonder if they still have, if they still do like the, like sniper, like the bullet vision that was in like that every video game ripped off from the first sniper movie. Like they shoot a bullet and you follow the bullet into the person they got shot into. But yeah, there's been like six. This is the eighth sniper movie, Chris. There's been eight sniper movies, and then the weird thing is like there's like a Steven Seagal movie where it's like about snipers, but it's not part of the sniper series. It's just another like Steven Seagal just made a movie called Sniper something.
I really like those sniper movies, and yeah. I made my own.
Yeah, that's but yeah, that's another 2020 movie that I did not see. Sniper Assassin's End. But yeah, so that's 2020. Hopefully things will get better next year. We'll have more movies that came out in theaters to talk about, and like it's gonna be if things go well, hopefully, and like people get vaccinated and like theaters reopen stuff, it's gonna be kind of nuts because there's basically 2 years worth of movies that need to get released.
Oh yeah, they're just gonna cram movies every week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be every week is going to be like two or three like just massive movies. And we're also getting like the like HBO Max, like every Warner Bros. Movie is on HBO Max that weekend. So it's going to be a crazy interesting year for the movie industry and movies in general. So
that's always good. That's good to look forward to for next year.
Yeah, stay tuned for like us talking about it every week. So, yeah, so that'll wrap up our 2020 look back. Definitely, like, the week you're hearing this, I mean, we're pulling a Tenet, like, inversion thing. We're in the future, like, you're hearing this in the future, but we're in the past thing. But yeah, there'll be probably written lists, at least from me, like, top 10 and best, maybe, like, top 5 worst, like we usually do. And maybe I'll probably have seen some more movies in the meantime. So there might be movies that I said I didn't see on this podcast that will be on that list, either of those lists. And yeah, head over to the site. We have all of our stuff up as well. Even though Christmas is over when you're hearing this, you can still head over and listen to our Home Alone commentary we did, which was pretty fantastic. And we definitely dive into some weird Home Alone stuff. And yeah, all the regular stuff is up there as well. So yeah, so of course I'm Zach, and we will see you next week and next year.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram @everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.